Okay, so we're going to look at trusting God in the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right. Some of you are like, what is that? It's an old Western, and you don't need to watch it. But I mean, it's not bad. It's just, it's a cool one, actually. But that theme song to it is, it's in my head, and it will never leave. So anytime I hear people say, hey, that's good, in my head I'm going, wah, 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 wah. So I'm not even listening to them. But this is something where we all have to deal with, because life isn't just lived on the mountaintop where everything's perfect. I mean, just, we wake up in the morning, they're promoting us, and we're getting bonuses, and cars are obeying us, and everything's working great. And that's a time where, that's a place where we want to be, but also it's something that's a part of trusting God, and I'm going to show you this, because there is the bad. And the bad in our journey is the pretty much like the side of the mountain. And then we have the ugly, and that's down in the valley. That's deep down there. And I've looked at that in the area of just my personal life, and I've experienced the valley life, and it can choke you. It can be a place where you can lose hope. It's dark. It's really not a good place to be. But also the place of bad is you're not on top and you're not down. And it's a struggle. I've hunted in Colorado, where there's 14,000 feet mountain. And walking in that terrain and getting up atop of a mountain is very, very difficult, especially when you're carrying about 50 pounds on their backpack. And I've been to the place where I've got up halfway there and I'm like going, I'm out of breath. It's just hard and difficult. But on the middle of a mountain, you're not doing anything. I got to get to the top where I hear them, where they're calling. And so I've been in that middle part and I realized the middle part isn't where I want to be. I want to get on top. But it's a place I've got to get through. So there are times when you're in a position where you don't want to be there, but your focus is as if this is forever. And no one, and I don't care what you've dealt with in your life, no one lives in the valley or the ugly forever. No one lives in the bad forever. No one lives on top of the mountain forever. There's no such thing as that. That's not what life's about. That's why we have a Bible. Because Jesus needed to explain to us, hey, when you're in this area, let me help you. When you're up here, let me help you. When you're down here, let me help you. He has the answers to all this. And that's what I want. I want answers in life. His proclamation of why he came. Now think about what we know of Jesus. He came to this earth, he walked on this earth, and he was crucified for us. He died, was buried, and on the third day rose again. So we look at that, and that's the picture of our Lord. And it represents exactly what he went through to get us to the position of what he said he came for. I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Now think about that. I have come, the words of Jesus, to give you God life, and that God life in abundance. That's what he said. And what did he do? He went to the cross, crucified, sinless, died, went to hell, rose again. All that took place so that we could what? Live life in abundance. Isn't that interesting? But we almost cancel out that because we receive Jesus, we experience his forgiveness and our redemption and our position with him, and we receive all that eternal, I'm part of the family, all that's a part of this, but then we live our lives and we eliminate, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. And I want us to get focused in on why he said what he said. Because he did not put a statement in there only if you're having a good time. He knew he would be in trouble. He says, persecution, you're going to have trouble. They attacked me, they're going to attack you. They fought me, they're going to fight you. They hurt me, they're going to hurt you. He said, in the world, you will have it. But I don't want you to hear this and I'm going to go, oh my gosh, yeah, I know. Give me some good news. Well, this is the good news when you look at it correctly. Because I'm going to tell you something. After you hear this, I believe no matter where you're at in your journey right now, your head's going to rise up. Your stance is going to rise up. Your attitude's going to rise up. And you're going to look at it in a different light than you are now. And I believe that's where your victory is. That's where all our victories are, okay? We'll start off in Proverbs 3:25. This is like a beginning scripture that I want you to keep in your heart. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor trouble from the wicked when it comes. Everybody say, when it comes. I don't like that scripture. But he said what? Don't be afraid. Because he knows that's going to be our first response, fear, right? But then he says, when it comes. It's like, that's not fair, Jesus. You should tell me, don't be afraid because it ain't going to happen. Don't be afraid because it's just going to pass away. You won't have to deal with this. No, he said, don't be afraid when sudden terror, when trouble from the wicked, when it comes. Now, notice what he does promise. I said what he does promise. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He said, I will become confidence in your life. But you got to keep fear out because you're going to be attacked. It's going to come. But the confidence has to be focused in on me because I have a plan. I have a journey. I have a destiny for everybody in here. When we start looking at it, what his words say, what the word of God teaches, it can bring you into a different mindset, which gives you different concept. What's happening is, and you really need to understand this, is everybody in here is dealing with life in the way that you perceive life. No one deals with life the same way, unless you're part of the same family and the same training and you're raised the same way. You're dealing with life pretty much the same way. That's why you can talk to people about certain things and they're telling you and you're like, going, well, that's not a big deal. What? That's okay. I'm sad you're going through that, but you're in your head, you're like going, I've had worse. But the point is everybody's dealing with their life through how they perceive, how they understand. So we're not the same in the issues at hand. So we can't judge each other based upon what you're going through. Why? Because I can tell you right now, a lot of things you're going through right now is like, whatever. But there was a time in my life when what you're going through, I went through worse because it was worse in my life. But as I matured and grew in the faith, those things they're not issues like they used to be. But does that mean they'll go away? No. But I have a different viewpoint, a different perception on what's happening. And because the pressure comes, I have a different understanding of how that comes, why it came, what's going on, and I have the ability to see it and not, you know, it's not that big a deal. Now, it's not all the time because, like I said, we don't all live on the mountaintop. Sometimes we're in the middle, and sometimes we're in the valley. The good, the bad, the ugly. Amen? So that's what we want to do. We want to look at this and understand this, all right? So because we're all going to experience one of the three. And we all will experience all three of them, not at the same time, but we all will. How many can attest to that in your life? Yeah, we all can. We understand that. Well, see, the Bible is written for us to have answers. Yeah, I mean, the simplicity of just specifically religious concept, you don't need a bunch of pages in the Bible. It's Jesus did it, believe in him, and now you go to heaven. But that's not the Bible. But that's how religion wants to focus in on it and live in this life, and man, I hope you make it. But Scripture is very clear on life and how to live life and how to overcome and how to stand and how to stand strong and how to get rid of things we ought not to have in our life. It's all filled with that. How to raise children, how to be better husbands, wives, how to be best parents. All these things. It's in the Word. That's what God wants us to have. He's trying to get us to say, get us to understand, I want you to live the life the way I wanted it at the very beginning. I want this to be lived correctly. And so we get the Word of God and allow it to transform us, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of our mind, okay? So what we need to say to ourselves is not if I'm going to face them, but who am I going to trust in the place I'm at? Because it's going to come. I'm going to have battles. Who am I going to focus in on? Am I going to look to myself, my opinions, my human strength, natural principles, or am I going to look to God? Because there's my answer. The answer is His Word. So I want us to get to where we realize, you know what? This isn't about just hip, hip, hurrahing a God and realizing, you know, it's just that. And then we go out there and there's no hope. We're praising a God because there is hope. I'm worshiping God because I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death and I'm able to fear no evil. Been there, done that. So I've gone through these places in my life with the understanding of the Word of God and recognize that I ain't gonna live there. That's not where I'm supposed to be. And so we can always recognize that there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel either way. Amen? So let me give you big three on trusting God. Big three scriptures. These are foundational. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, and this is trust that produces guidance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. This is the difficulty of all believers. The reason why we have so many issues and problems in our life is we lean to our own opinion, our own feeling. The circumstance speaks louder than God's Word does. And what we need to understand is He's trying to get us to trust Him, believe Him, believe Him. This isn't fairy tales, people. This is life. This isn't a religious book. This is life. Everything in here is about your life, and we need to focus correctly in the Word concerning it. That's the way that my life's been transformed. It started as a religious book, though I was not religious, but I thought it was holy. Then it became another picture, and then another picture. But each one pretty much was keeping me on the outside. Until I started realizing that, wait a minute, when the Bible is talking about itself, it's saying, I need to eat it. I need to drink it. I need to get this within me, living it. And all of a sudden, things started becoming different now. So the words, what Jesus says, men, women will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Why would He say bread? Why is He talking about food? Because food equals life. This equals life, and I have to understand that. So the process is right before us. We just need to do it, and I'm telling you, this is how your life transforms. This is how it changes. So He says, don't lean your own understanding in all your ways. Everybody say, all my ways. Acknowledge Him. This is the progression of your walk or the progression of the place of maturity is where you're just the natural principles. A child, babies, crying, pooping, peeing all the time, wanting their way all the time, right? But they're not like thinking, I'm going to do that. It's just who they are. And then as they get older, they get into toddler stage. And they try to pretend they're baby stage. And that's when you're like going, no, we don't play that no more. Isn't that true, parents, right? If you are, you're messed up. You're going to mess that child up. But the process is no, now they're more mature. They're older now. And then as that goes into a next stage, we keep seeing the stages, correct? But we don't keep treating them as newborns. Hopefully you're not. But as it goes through the process of stage, you recognize it, you see it, you realize this is the picture of life. This is our life in the spiritual realm as well. So we have to grow, we have to mature. It's based upon, you know, your baby, you take in just milk, formula, whatever. And then you go into, you know, the real, real smooth baby food. And then as you get older, there's the toddler style baby food. Then you start getting introduced to regular food, right? This is the process. And we understand that. So it's the same way here in the Word of God. Churches negatively affect growth because people judge based upon people. They don't base upon reality of different stages of life. They base upon their viewpoint. Well, that person should be this way, and that person should be that way, and this one should be this way, and how dare they do that, and how dare... You can't judge everybody the same. And that's why I try, all the years I've been doing ministry, I try to teach leaders, because the assumption is that's what you do, because you don't know any better. And I've been there. But there comes a time you start realizing that there's maturity levels, there's background levels that are affecting maturity levels, there's places where people are in seasons in their life, and you can't judge it the exact same way. Like a single person, and then all of a sudden they're married. It changes. It's a different season. And then you get a married people, and all of a sudden they have kids. Seasons. It changes. And then if they have more than one, oh my God, it changes. And it continues on, does it not? So there's the changes. There's the different seasons. The single person has way more time, has way more availability, less responsibility. And so you can pull more from them because they're more available. But again, marriage, kids, parenting, all of a sudden, everything starts changing. So we recognize that. As a leader, that's my responsibility. And that's how I lead. I recognize the season. Now, if I see you in a season you ain't supposed to be in, then we deal with the season. Because you ought not to be that way. It's summer, ain't winter. Don't be wearing coats in June. Gosh, we're almost in July now, huh? It's like cruising right, thank you, Jesus. Let's cruise right into September. That's still summer, but it's not as bad, right? All right. So Proverbs says, acknowledge God in all his ways, and he shall. These are promises. Everybody say promises. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm reading you God's promises, and that's what you need to remember. These are promises. You can trust him, people. This isn't me telling you to trust me. I'm telling you to trust him. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Leaning is always directing life. And when you look at the Hebrew, it's pretty powerful, but it's just a picture of the direction you lean is the direction you go. He's saying, lean on God. Lean toward the word of God. And by doing that, he said what? I shall direct your path. That's pretty powerful. And that's a foundational scripture. Trust produces guidance. Never forget that. Trust produces guidance. Now, also, when you look at this, this is a clear biblical command. So this is going to counter leaning on circumstances, leaning on your human viewpoints or opinions. God's saying, no, lean on my word. Lean on my word. That's why we want to teach you God's word. We want you to understand it. We want you to see these scriptures and understand these scriptures. We want you to understand the word of God. But I don't want you to religiously understand it. I want you to know it like 1 + 1 = 2. And so we break it down in a simple way. I want you to see it. I want you to go, man, I can do that. Because until I could hear the word that way, and as I'm on my journey as a believer, until I was presented it that way, everything that I was receiving was not for me, not a pastor, not spiritual, not for me, it's for the ones that are better than me, not for me. And I can not for me forever. And until that word started entering into me and I started receiving it, started understanding it, that's when I started going, that's for me, that's for me. And I wasn't more perfect than the pastor. I wasn't more perfect than, quote, spiritual people, but I could believe the word of God and it was for me. That's where I want all of you at, because that's the only time you're going to be able to look at your life and say, it's working. This is working. And that's what we want everybody to hear, to experience. This works. And I have a challenge. Anybody, you come here, be faithful for a year. I promise you, I swear, you will never be the same. You will be a totally different person. I don't even need a year, but a year's good to say. But I guarantee it, I've seen thousands of people changed over the years, thousands. And I can tell you, when you start engaging and receiving this, like partaking of it, it will transform your life. That should give you massive hope. Because some of you in here right now, you're dealing with some issues, and hope is a little distance right now. Well, we'll fix that. All right? We're going to fix that. The second is Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. God, you will keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because they trust in you. Then it says, trust in the Lord forever. He is everlasting strength. Now, when I'm reading, I pay attention to the words, the dialogue. I don't just skim by it. I don't just say, oh, that's cute. I take God at his word. My ability to have victory is the ability to say, God, I believe your word said this, and this is your word. I declare it to him. Remember, the word says this. Well, I know God knows, but I want him to know I know. And he says, remind me. That's what God said. So I do it. And it just, my reminding him is reminding me. Because usually you're reminding him when things are bad or things are like, and you're like, God, remember. But truthfully, he's trying to get me to remind myself. As I remind him, isn't that weird? But he says, you will keep me in perfect peace. You know what the Hebrew says? It says, you will keep me in shalom, shalom. It doesn't say, there's not two different words. They translate it perfect because they figured, okay, he's saying it twice. But that double process is a statement of, you need to pay attention of this specific one in a big way. And he says, shalom, shalom. Now, when you look at the Hebrew word shalom, it's not, hey, how's it going? Hi, see ya. Shalom is a very powerful Hebrew word. And the simplest statement of it that I saw years ago is God says, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. But it covers prosperity and success and health and wholeness. That's what the word shalom means. So when I hear that word, I hear not shalom, brother. I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing what the word of God says about it. And it's very important to understand that, because he's pretty much saying blessings, wholeness upon your life in the word shalom. So he says, you will keep him in shalom, shalom, when my mind is focused on you, when my mind is stayed on you. This is a cool word, because the Hebrew word is samach. And just as I told you about do not lean to your own understanding, that is samach. And this scripture right here is telling you whose mind is, and it literally means to lean hard against. And as I was thinking about that word, because you lean on something, and you can lean on something, but there are times when you lean in hard. And those are usually times when I think about, like, you're like going on a ride, and it's, you know, some crazy roller coaster or whatever, and you're both on a ride, and all of a sudden, the other person's like leaning in on you, like, oh my gosh, help me. You know, you're leaning on that person, and that's pretty much what this word reveals, that when we're in that time of, oh gosh, lean on them strong, lean on them hard. And this is what this scripture says, whose mind is leaning on you. Well, when you're leaning on something, you must trust it, right? And that's what he says. Lean on those, on him who you trust. So you're putting your life on God. You're leaning on God. Now, this is what I do. It might be elementary, but I do these things. I can read this. I can recognize the Hebrew language in it. I can look at the awesome deepness of the statement. But my greatest help in my life is to simplify it, to dumb it down to the easiest way. Even though everything I'm showing you is very powerful and it is God's word. But what I want to see also is what is he literally showing me? He's saying, this is who I am, Daniel, to you. See, I see him say, you will keep me in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. But then when I get all that information, I realize that, how can I lean on someone that's far away? Well, he's not. How can I do any of this? Because his command and will is for me to experience God in that way. So it's not this command of do this, do that, do this. It's a statement of, this is who I am to you. Trust me. Lean on me. That's pretty cool. Is it not? This is the God we're talking about. This is the God. We're not talking about some dead God or some God that's so foreign or some God that's out there and just grumpy and mad and can't stand you because you keep lying to him. You promised you wouldn't do it, but you did it again. That's a religious God. That's not this God right here. That's not the God of the Bible at all. I'm telling you right now. That's a lie. The God of the Bible is the God of the Bible, and the word aligns with who he is. That's his character. That's who he is. And that's what I want you to understand. Understand that's him to you, all right? So in the middle of turmoil or loss of hope, here's our promise. He will keep me in shalom, shalom. What'd he say? He will keep me in that position. This is what God's saying. Listen, son, lean on me. Daughter, lean on me. And as you do, I will keep you in this position of shalom, shalom, wholeness, health, blessing, deliverance. You're leaning on me. That's what you should expect. From this moment on, this is what belongs to you. Why? Because you lean on him. I was going to sing it, but I'm not going to. So we look at it's a promise of perfect peace when we put our mind toward that. So when you look at these scriptures, what exactly are we trusting in? I mean, when we're hearing trust, 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 but what are we trusting in? Well, what are these scriptures? I've already mentioned what they are. They're promises. So what God's saying is, I want you to trust the promise. I want you to trust the promise. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. Notice the term, how he communicates. Let us hold fast the confession. Everybody say the confession. Okay, so he's relating, holding on or being in a position of help through what we speak. This is probably one of the areas where most, you know, quote, Christians don't even understand in the area of deliverance, in the area of their lives being miserable, or the area of fear, anxiety, lack of trust. It's all tied to what's coming out of your mouth. Blessing and cursing are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of words. And that is a natural truth because it's aligning with the spiritual one. So we got to understand that. What's coming out of your mouth? Talk bad, be bad. Talk good, be good. Jesus made it very clear. He said, if a tree is good, it will produce good. If a tree is bad, it will produce bad. And you can look at it in such a negative, or you can look at it in the positive, what he says this, make the tree good. That's hope. See, he could have laid it straight out. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. Move on, next subject. But he didn't. He put in there, make the tree good. So that gives me the ability of, I don't have to be bad. I can be good. Do you guys see this? That's why the Word of God is so important to not rush through, not just, I need to get my chapter done. I need to read through the Bible this year and I'm behind. If you don't read this as life, as you would your favorite meal, you're going to miss out. It's not going to connect with you. It's just something you do. And then what do? You're going to blame the person that wrote this, because that's what people do. We blame God, even though we're doing contrary to what his Bible says. That's why it's important to know the word, amen, to understand it. It says this, when you hold fast your confession of hope, and it says, without wavering. So it's telling us, if you're going to confess something, you can't be double-minded. Wavering is I believe God, what's the ail me? Did you give me this, God? That's wavering. You're going against his word. You're wavering. I believe God's this, and then your whole life says, I don't really believe it. So we need to get in line with what his word teaches. For he who promised is faithful. There you go. So how do I stop the wavering? See, we waver with one another because we're not God to each other, right? No one in here is perfect. Many of you said something you didn't follow through with, right? Oh, in here, probably maybe four of us. You guys need to get more alive in here this morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? We understand that. We get that. But see, what's happening is I don't gather here or gather together here for the purpose of we get to do church. That's tiny. That's small thinking. There's no purpose in that. I look at what I'm called to be, what I'm called to do. That's what I look at. So I don't look at it in a religious connotation, a religious picture. I look at it with expectation. I speak over this time with expectation. I speak over your lives in the same manner. I speak my confession over this time together, over each and every one of you. I don't need to by name. I just need to by family. And that's how I do it. That's what I say. That's what I believe. So when you gather here, your expectation should be just that. I'm not here to fill time. I'm not here to do religion. I'm not here to do church. I'm here to give us life through his word, because that's what it is. And I'm expecting every person that comes in here, you don't leave the same. So something in here is going to connect. That's all, I don't need a, it doesn't have to be the whole message. I just need something in there. Because in my journey, I remember the times when, ooh, that was for me. And it made an impact. Amen? All right. He who promised is faithful. So the promises of God are based upon God's faithfulness. Is God faithful?
Yes.
All right, he promised. 2 Peter 1:4. We have been given exceeding and great and precious promises. That's a mouthful when you look at the Greek language. It's very, very, it's a powerful, powerful statement. But Peter, pretty much when he's speaking about promise, he couldn't just say God's promises. He had to say these things are beyond, beyond. There are things where you need to understand that you're going to look at a promise and go, how could this be for me? It's like exceeding great. It's way, way more than I could ever understand. But it's a promise for me. So I have to trust that. It has been given to me. It's been given to you. What does that mean? If I say, I don't have anything. All right, I have a bottle of water. Here, Tim, I'm going to give this to you. Thanks, bro. All right. Now, y'all understand what the term given means, right? Was that given? Some of you think God's that way. That's how you see God. You're walking around with a bottle of water, and you're, how come God? Why God? And never a God. Let's make it simple. Now you give it to me. But see, he's not God. In other words, he got something given. I got something given. Everybody's gets something given. That means it belongs to me. It's mine. This is mine. We all have been given. Then he moves into why we have an issue with this. Great and exceeding precious promises. That's an issue. Why? Because identity people, y'all know what I teach here and what I continue to pound on. That's the greatest enemy in your life right now, how you value yourself. And how you value yourself is tied to your past. Your father or not, doesn't matter. You see yourself unworthy. And as long as you see yourself unworthy, you won't receive this because you don't deserve it. That's your viewpoint. You know, God has zero care about your viewpoint. It's all about his viewpoint. He says, it's yours. Now, you might not believe it, but it doesn't matter. He said, this is how you break into the ability to trust God. This is how you do it. You pretty much can get blunt with yourself. Oh, who am I, better than God? I mean, I can give you so many different times of how I communicated to try to break free from not receiving. Oh, I'm now not the liar and God is? I mean, I would go over these things to get me to realize you need to shut up and just start believing. Because if I don't, I can't change. When you start receiving, like a queen or a king would, it's when you start realizing that's who you are. And until that happens, you will always shortcut and sabotage your life because you don't believe you're worthy. How do you establish worthy? How do you establish value? I mean, use common sense, people. Like, this is love life. We bring it down to a place where you can go, oh, I get it. Now I understand it. How do you establish value? Because someone puts a price on it? No, not at all. It doesn't, value isn't established till a payment is made by whoever made it. That's only time. So I can have, I've got, you know, some hockey cards. I got some, I haven't even looked at them in years. They might not be worth anything. Majority probably aren't. But there might be some in there, rookie cards or whatever, that would be listed as, you know, $500, $5,000, $50,000. No, I'd be selling that right now if I knew that, but it ain't. But let's just say that they valued that card at that. You know how much my card is worth if they said it's valued at 50 grand? You know how much it's worth? A dollar, what I paid for the cards. The value of the card in the pack when I bought it was probably a buck. And it probably came with bubble gum, which was probably more valuable than the card. Right? So it's only worth a dollar. It doesn't matter if they say, no, that card's 50 grand. Doesn't matter because it isn't. Now, if I bring that card to that person and say, how much you want for it? And they say 50,000, they give me 50,000. Guess what the value is? 50 grand. What is the value to him? 50,000. Are you guys seeing that? So how do I value myself? Well, I can't go to me. I'm the Ford dealer trying to sell a $20,000 truck for 80 grand. That's true. It's a joke. It's the same truck. But see, that's not the value of it. And it won't be because I ain't gonna pay it. So what we do is we start realizing, wait a minute, how do I determine my value? Well, by what you were purchased for. Each one of you, personally, this is the life we live. The life of a follower of Jesus is not a religion. It is life. And my personal place in this family is Jesus died personally for me. Just he died personally for you. He rose again personally for me. He rose again personally for you. Everything about what Jesus said was personal. There's my price. I have to believe it. He paid his sinless blood for me. I'm valuable. Now, did I get that right away? No way. It took a long time. But once I entered into the right type of teaching, once I started receiving what the New Testament was teaching, then and only then was I able to connect the dots to, hey, I am valuable. I am greatly loved by God. He's not going to forsake me. He will never leave me. He will never give me up. He'll always be there for me. He'll always be there with me. And when I'm down, he's there. When I'm up, he's there. When I'm in the middle, he's there. When I'm in sin, he's there. When I'm not in sin, he's there. He's with me all the time. He said so. I will never, Daniel, never, double negative. I will never, no, not never leave you. I will never, no, not forsake you. He didn't just say, I'm not going to leave you. He said, never ain't going to happen. That's God's word. He don't lie. We will. He doesn't. So how dare you say that about God? Exactly. When you start talking to yourself that way, it starts bringing revelation up in you. Yeah, how dare I? I ought not to do that. If there's a miss in communication, it's on me. If there's a miss in understanding, it's on me. It's not on him, it's on me. Religions created the attitude of talking that way, not God's word, okay? So we've got to trust the Lord. All the promises of God, yes and amen. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Okay? First belief is this. I believe God's real. He exists. That's it. I believe God exists. I believe God says who he says he is. Okay? That's what he said. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is not a religious term. Faith is pistuo. It's confidence. It's belief. That's what it is. That's what faith is. So he says, but faith, without faith, confident belief, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists, and, watch this, he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. He's a what? Rewarder. You know what the Greek word for that is? He pays wages. It's the wage payer. You do a job, he pays wages for the job. That's what that Greek word is. It's pretty interesting. So he says this is that when you are operating in that confident expectation of life, what happens? Faith operating, it is impossible without it. Faith, confidence, I am pleasing him, I believe in him, and I believe he's rewarding me for those who seek him. I trust him. I believe in him. And these are all promises. These are what we're focusing in on of why am I believing what I'm believing? Because his promises are, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises. How many? All the promises. There's just not one. There's thousands. I've been reading these promises, and they belong to me. They're great and precious promises. They've actually been given to me. This is what's crazy. You have every promise of God already with you. You just now need to learn what belongs to you. God wrote a will out. You're on it. It's time to look what's in the will, okay? It's time to recognize what belongs to you. So we're going to look at the good, bad, and the ugly. And this, again, this is a season of life. First part is trusting God in the good. You think when it's good, I don't need to talk about that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen many people get in a worse condition on top of the mountain than they did on the bottom. You know, on the bottom of the mountain, there's a lot of prayer going on. On the top of the mountain, mouth shut. It's a strong position to be in the weakest. And what is that? Pride, self-centeredness. God is just doing so much for you and you're on top and things are good and you got just, everything's like, yeah, this is awesome. And what I've seen personally over the years is prayer gets so much weaker on top than it was in the middle and the bottom. Connection with God becomes weaker on top than it was in the middle and the bottom. Trust becomes weaker on top. Why? Because you got everything. See, you either didn't know or you lost the concept of how you even got on top of the mountain. And so this is why I'm saying this is something that we got to trust God even in the good. And that's what I want for all of us. I want us all on top. I want us in the good, but we can't eliminate God. That's the danger point. So it's believing God and continue to expect God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So we're to trust him when? All the time. Lean to him all the time. Focus on him, he will direct our paths. When we trust God with every decision we make, we're going to be blessed because we're not operating in our wisdom, we're operating in his wisdom. When life's going well, let's look at Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. And this is very powerful, trusting God in the good. When you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. When you say it's because I made some wise business decisions and I just know what I'm doing and I'm the best at this and there ain't no one better and I'm slick when I do this and I have the ability to sell anything and I have so much great knowledge because I have this degree and that degree. And when you talk that way, it is I. And God, in his awesomeness, is telling Israel, you need to remind yourself of where you were and where you're going and who gave it to you. See, he's saying, I'm going to give you lands that didn't belong to you. The lands actually have crops and they're already working and they're going to be yours. And I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. This is what God said. I'm going to give you all these things, and all you have to do is receive it. But he said this, do not say in your heart, my power and my strength got all this stuff. It's because I'm so smart. No. As a follower of Jesus, when you're a believer and you're on your journey, You better be thanking God and not be going, well, it's because of my high intellect. Because it isn't. I know all of you, most of you. It's because of God's wisdom. Amen. And he says this, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Like I said, I've seen this over and over and over, where people live in low, mediocre, whatever, struggling, working their way up, and all of a sudden get to the top, and a transformation takes place. Not a good one. And I'm talking about the majority. And what happens is all of a sudden it's, I did this. And the living becomes self-focused. Not about God anymore. Self-focused. And it's a sad place. I love it. And I've seen a few. I've only seen a few in over a long time in ministry, over 45 years. I've only seen a few get to the top, and they're more aggressive in their life of being a major impact in the kingdom than they were before. And that's what God is expecting. He gives seed to the sower. He's going to give and bless when you are being that blesser to the kingdom of God. It's his way he works. You can't outgive God. Everything you do when you're in the position of, I want to get God's will and everything that God wants and be able to impact, you can't outdo him. You're doing exactly what he's expecting us all to get to and to be. And you'll see it happen. But again, there's the temptation to think it's all you. I'm going to tell you right now, it'll dry up. And I've seen it over and over and over. And that's not what we want. We want a continued elevation of being a blessing for the kingdom. Amen? So when everything's going good, when everything's going well, we never forget every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. It's because of him, not because of you, all right? Don't let success replace dependence. You just got to stay grateful, stay humble, stay focused, right? It's God. This is a God thing. Second thing is trusting God in bad because he is our protector. Nobody volunteers for, you know, bad seasons or rough journeys. No one wants it in their life. But again, we all experience it, correct? Right. But it's something that I believe was one of the strongest positions to be in is to recognize that God speaks about these times, but he also shows us how he will benefit or bless us in these times. He never said you'll never go through a storm. He never said you'll never go on the side of the mountain or even the valley. He never said that. But he always communicates of what he does and how he is when we are, which should give us hope, right? So I want you all to just focus in on, because again, you're out there in life, and this is what this is about. This is about Monday. And you're dealing with the pressures out there in life. The different things. So there's so many different things that we can be dealing just in the perspective of our own personal lives, families, kids. You can keep building and building and building and building. God understands that. But you have to also understand that these promises belong to you no matter where you're at, no matter what season you're in. So there's no season where you're going, God, I'm at that worst one. You know this one. This is the worst of the worst. God's like going, I don't look that way. And so we have to focus on how he focuses. Amen? So these are, when you look at, and this is the pattern I've seen. When you're in the valley, you would not believe how many people are seeking God, seeking answers, seeking information, and what do I need to do? And I want to get into pushing to God. In the middle of the valley, same way. Oh my gosh, it's hard, and I've been waiting, but what do I do? And I need to read more, I need to pray more. And it's so focused in on, I know I need to do things. And then you get on top, it's all nothing anymore. You're not pressing in, it doesn't happen anymore. There, you're praying all the time. Here, lacking. Do you see this? But the point is in this part or down in this part, God's the same all three places. He doesn't change. So our viewpoint's got to change, because if I'm here and I'm seeing God in a different light, there's no hope. If I'm down here and I see him, God doesn't care, or God, you know, woe is me and how come? There's no hope. Why? Because the scripture makes it very clear. Trust him. Trust him. And these scriptures are more in line with the places of misery. Why? Because believe me, you need to recognize these two areas above this one. This one still does it, but above is where most of your faith is growing in this area. Why? Because this is where you're operating in the faith more than you would up here. You're believing God for certain things. You're believing God for this and believing God for that. Now up here, you got everything. You guys see this? So in there, I'd look at it more in the area of my faith's going to grow in this. My belief is going to grow in this. I'm going to grow stronger in this. And what you're doing is you're defeating what the enemy wants. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He wants you to run and hide. He wants you to whimper off. Jesus said, let me tell you about you and the enemy. Resist him, and he'll run away scared. Resist. That's it. He didn't say fight him. He didn't say attack him. He didn't do anything. He just says resist, resist, resist the direction of what he wants, what he says, what he believes, whatever. Resist it. No, that's not mine. No, this is not where I stay. No, this is not my life. I'll move out of this. I'll get better. Things are going to change. And that's exactly what God's saying. Do not lose your good profession, your good confession. You guys follow me? So we're going to have this. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be disappointments, financial pressures. I mean, it can be a change in just politics. It can be a change in a law. It can be changed in, we're going to eliminate this tax. We're going to eliminate that. There's all kinds of changes. All of a sudden, it can bring what? Increase. It can bring better. So it's just based upon how we perceive the moment. I'm not waiting for the world to react. God already reacted, and I have the promises. Do you guys follow me? All right. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. Everybody say, we know. I've read this scripture for many years. I've taught this scripture many times in church, and I can tell you right now that most of us don't know this. And the Bible's saying we need to know it. The word here, know, is eido, and it's full, complete knowledge or understanding. That's pretty much what he's saying. No, there's like five different words for know, knowing, knowledge. There's a process of understanding, process of growing, process of learning. There's all these ones. And there's the kind that from God, from heaven, spiritual wisdom. And then there's the area where you've got the place where I know this. I understand this. I got this. And that's what he's saying. We know we should be in this position. We know that all things work together for good. You know why that's a problem with most, quote, Christians? Because they translate it in a total different message. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. Religion translated it's this. And we know that everything works together for good. Religion says this. We know that all things are good, or all negative, or all attacks, or all bad. I cannot look at it as not all things are good. Religion says that we have to look at it as, well, it's just God's way. And God doesn't say it that way. He's saying, because you're going through it doesn't make it good. But in the midst of it, there is a good. The good isn't the pain. The good isn't the crash. The good isn't the ugly. The good is in the knowledge of that this isn't going to hold you. This isn't going to be the defining moment in your life. This is a process. This is a journey. You're in the valley. You're on the side of the mountain. We don't look at it as, okay, this is good for me. No, it's going to work out for my good. So the ultimate direction is I'm going to be coming out in a good state. This isn't good, but it will work out to good. Do you follow me now? That's going to be beneficial to me. So he says, we know that all things work together for good. Not all things are good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. If you're born again, you're called to his purposes. Period. So what we do is we look at it correctly and say, this ain't my end zone. This ain't my last place. It will work out for good, ultimately. So in the main point is God's working in circumstances, even when they're difficult, in the midst of attack. God turns the enemy's attacks into testimonies. That's what I've seen over the years. People that have gone through certain things in their life, all of a sudden it becomes ability to communicate, this is what God's done for me. It's a testimony. We need more testimonies. That's what we need. The ability to come through something, have victory over it, and say, yeah, I've been through that, and I got through that. Those type of stories have helped me many times in the year of my own life. Because I see that, wait a minute, someone's got through it. Someone has had victory over it. And that's always going to be beneficial to you. Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's in the presence of every situation we're in. His word is telling us, focus in on him, trust him. Yeah, it's ugly, yeah, it's bad. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. 2 Corinthians, did I write this down? 2 Corinthians, I think it's 4. 2 Corinthians 4:8, or somewhere right there. Paul is talking about massive pressure in life. I mean, terrible pressure. But he says, even though I have this great pressure coming against me, one thing I know, I will not be crushed. Now, when you look at the Greek language, a good analogy would, if I put y'all know what a BB is, you know, a little steel ball. Okay, so if I put a little BB, say on this table, and I put my finger on it and I pressed on that, the pressure and my finger would cover the whole BB, right? But I could not crush it. Now I can put the I can put my finger over it and I can push on it, but because the force of the steel ball, the BB, is greater in its force outward than my ability to push inward. God's word is telling us this. This is what he's showing us. He's saying that Paul is going through pressures. I mean, major pressures in his life. But he recognized that no matter what I'm getting pressured in, I'm never going to be crushed. Crushing is the failure. It's the breakdown. That's why the Bible says the greater one lives in us. God lives in us. My belief, my trust, my focus in on God tells me this. If I'm crushed, it's because I believe it to be so. But the truth of the matter is I'm not. How many went through some overwhelming emotional experience in your past? Just emotional. And during the time, how many of you felt that I'll never get over this? I'll never be able to find. And then all of a sudden, you're not that way no more. What happened? No matter how devastating it was, ultimately through life or whatever, you're going to get through. But what God's saying is in the midst of it, I need you to focus in on my word. And my word says, no matter what the pressure is, it cannot crush you. Well, what's my promise? That I can think this. If I'm overwhelmed, I can sit there and focus in on scripture, trust God, lean to him, get connected and realize it ain't gonna crush me. No matter how I feel, no matter how bad it is, and people, you don't understand how many different things I've had to go through in life and ministry to where everything seemed like I can't breathe and it's so much pressure, but ultimately everything's better. That's the word of God coming to life in us. That's what God needs us to experience. You know why? Because there are all kinds of people out there getting crushed right now. With your testimony of been there, done that, and look at me. I've heard some of your testimonies. I've heard many of your past lives. And by the way, some are very scary. It's hard to sleep after I heard your story. But I look at you. Look at you. There's the word. There's God's a living God. There's the testimony. Believe the word. Believe what Paul wrote. We won't be crushed. Amen. And then you got trust God in the ugly. Again, these would be moments when nothing makes sense. It's like, or the why me? How could this happen to me? These are the when everything's dark, when everything's in a bad place. These, like I said, down there is the weakest. It's one of the weakest points to be in life. It's almost like hope is fleeing from you. And it's not a good place to be in until you know his word. Because many of us can get there. And God's saying, but if you can remind yourself of your promises, if you can focus in on what my word says, those valleys will not be like they used to be. You won't be in a dark valley ever again. You'll be in a valley. You can be in a valley, but it won't dark. Dark means no light. Amen. When you got light, I can handle it. You ever been in a dark place with no flashlight, no light at all? Man, you'd be bumping and tripping and everything else. But you just get one little light, that one little light. It doesn't, I don't need it to go. I've been in some dark places, especially like if I'm hunting or out there in the forest. I mean, in the middle, there's no light at all, unless there's moon or stars. But it can get so dark, you can't even see your hand. And I'm not looking for, I need a massive flash and beam of light. I need this. No, I don't. I just need a light that shines around me so I can walk safely. That's all I need. I don't need something going 100 yards in front of me. I just need some light. And I would be fine. All I need is a little light. a little light. And once you start getting this stuff in you, you're going to start realizing, all I need is some light. Light disperses darkness. Light disperses darkness. Amen? You got to get the light of this word, the promise of God in you. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said to me, this Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Everybody say weakness. Asthenia is the Greek word. Now I want you to pay attention to that. Because Paul's saying what? I mean, Jesus said this to Paul. My strength is made perfect in weakness, asthenia. Now look at this. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. No, it isn't for infirmities. It's the same Greek word, weaknesses. Religion translated that into sicknesses, but it isn't. It's weaknesses. It's weakness being weak without strength, and that's what Jesus said. And then keep going with the context. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The what? Power of Christ. Christ is reference to anointing. Jesus Christ, Jesus anointed one. That anointing, the power of that Christ will rest upon me. Therefore, why? Look at this. Listen how he talks. Therefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses. Yep, now it's translated same again. In reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's strength. Why? Because this power of that anointing of God in my life is when I am weak, then I am strong, empowered. And this is what God's trying to get us to see. Pay attention to my word. My grace is sufficient to handle any situation you're in. When you feel your weakest, when you're out without strength, believe in me. Confess me. Speak about the promises. Speak about my word. Speak about the light. And as you do, you're able to proclaim like Paul. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In the area of weakness. Do you guys see how God flips all this stuff? Where we're crying and woe is me and miserable and life sucks and this is terrible and no hope and no this and no. And negative, 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 negative. And Satan's just feeding you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Make that your confession. It'll never. It won't. It can't. It always. And the enemy's just going to keep lining you up with that. And you're destroying your life because you're believing the lie. The deceiver. You're believing other people that have miserable lives. They want you to be miserable with you. Misery loves company, right? That's not scriptural, but the principle is. All right? So what do? We've got to focus in on what Jesus' word said to focus in on. Trust him. Can you trust him? Hebrews 13, I was just talking about this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Does that scripture say that you will never have a bad day? You're never going to have darkness? No. But it says this is a promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When you know God's with you and it's pitch dark, it's okay. He said, I'll never leave you. I think one of the greatest revelations that you can have is that truth. And don't forget it. Because that time that you want to do the nasty or the bad thing, and then you got that scripture in your heart, you're like going, he's not going to leave me. Right? Just the thought. Every one of us is somewhere. You're on the top, middle, or bottom. We just got to get out of this stuff and focus in on the God we serve. Can we do that? Just focus in on, what is this all about? Trust me. Trust me. Put your faith in me. Lean on me. God over and over and over is saying, don't you guys see this? It's not about your power. It's not about your ability. It's about the place of belief. Can you believe? What did Jesus say? All things are possible. He didn't say some. He said, all things are possible to those who believe. I like that. Does Jesus lie? Does he? All right, what's common sense? Well, when you next time you say that's impossible, recognize it's only because you don't believe. But if you can believe, it is not impossible. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, I believe that as we are just the seed of God is entering in our hearts, that there's specific seeds that are hitting that good ground. And that's what we're expecting, multiplication of whatever it is that we've received this morning. So Father, I thank you that the word has gone forth. It goes forth with power and the ability to transform, and that we receive that word because we believe in you and we have an expectation of never being the same again. So Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth. And now we will respond by our belief in it, by accepting it and speaking it over our lives as well. Father, thank you for the light of the word of God that has dispersed the darkness in the situations we're in now. And we're going to go to the top of the mountain and make sure we're always giving you thanks, glory, just constant expectation of even doing greater for you and pressing is as much as ever before. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, y'all. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day.